Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. What is your idea of the ideal body? Mine has always been the mythic physique depicted in the sword and sandal films that were popular during my childhood. This heroic template was in turn inspired by the Greco-Roman statuary that depicted my Olympian ancestors. Both cinema and sculpture celebrated the mighty ones of old, the doers of great deeds. I am currently in my early 60s and no longer as likely to lift the heavy weights I once did in my youth. However, I am determined to embody and express my ideal physique to the best of my ability for the remainder of my years. I've recently declared a quest for optimal wellness. You are invited to accompany me on this quest and to share the details of your own journey on our podcasts or in our online groups. Tonight, I'm very proud to have with us the founder of Fury and Strength and the Phoenix Protocols, Mr. Ryan Foley. Ryan is a companion and guide of mine on this quest, and I'm looking forward to sharing what he has to share today. Before we begin, tonight's episode is dedicated to the memory of Reg Lewis. He played Maxis in the Sons of Hercules series, specifically Fire Monsters Against the Son of Hercules, and he left this world yesterday on Valentine's Day. Greetings, Ryan. How are you?
I am cold. I think like so many Americans right now. For your listeners, I'm located in Oklahoma, and we are in the middle of a massive cold snap. I went ahead and did a quick check to see what the weather was like there in Tenafly, and you guys are about 34 degrees warmer than
wow.
We are, even though you guys are so much farther north. So the cold front has really come through here. It's dumped quite a bit of snow on us, and being as far south as we are, we rarely see these types of truly frigid conditions. I looked outside and checked the temperature, and it said zero. So we don't have
wow.
a temperature here in Oklahoma. So yeah, it's really cold. But we're very lucky. We knew that this was coming, so we were happy to and fortunate enough to get plenty of food before it all hit. So we're all tucked up and doing our best to stay warm during this time.
We did some shopping today because we're expecting it to hit tonight after midnight and then tomorrow. And we're told when it reaches us, it'll be mostly ice. So that's what we're expecting for tomorrow.
It's one of the few good things that they said, and I'm by no means a meteorologist, but they said because it's so cold, the snow has it falls as snow all throughout the atmosphere. So as a result, it's very light. It's very powdery. It is not conducive for making snowmen. But so as a result, it's the wind is going through and blowing it all around. So it's this weird thing where I can look and see a foot snowbank where the wind
wow.
has gone through and piled it all up. But then I can look, 10 yards across the yard and I can see grass sticking out from, from the,
wow.
the snow. So it's been kind of a tough it's been kind of a tough weekend with the weather and everything, but we're doing our best to keep our spirits up and thank goodness for internet and being able to talk to friends
yes.
like you.
I am able to count my snow shoveling as workouts. So
exactly. Yeah. That was one of the things my son was commenting to me today as we were trying to dig out the driveway. He's like, well, I guess we don't have to worry about cardio today. So yeah, that was
there
one
we
of
go.
The things. When you can't make it to the gym, you have to improvise as best you can. And so thankfully I was able to get out there and do some shoveling to get me, to get the blood all flowing and help me get stimulated, and out of the funk that you can tend to get in whenever you're trapped inside.
Well, I'm glad that you're safe and I'm glad that you have food and I'm glad that you're in good humor. And, I hear you learned from Superman, which is awesome.
I did, very much so. So it's kind of one of those things where I feel like there is I'm not a tremendous religious person, but I do believe in certain spiritual forces. I consider myself to be an optimistic agnostic.
Okay.
And so I think there are times where you come along and the universe presents something to you at a time when you really need it the most. And so there's the argument of, you know, is it, do you find the path or does the path find you? Or maybe it's a little bit of both. So I've been going through, so for your listeners, just for a quick recap, I have been considering myself a bodybuilder for going on almost 6 years now. And so a lot of my journey has been pretty self-taught. Thankfully, I'm able to stand on the shoulders of so many people that have come before me, so which involves reading a lot of books and reading a lot of articles. And thankfully, we're in an information era right now where you do have an unprecedented amount of information at your fingertips.
Yes.
If you date back to times like in the 70s when Schwarzenegger was coming up, you kind of felt like it was this own little special club where that they kept a lot of the information to themselves, and there wasn't a ready available resource where people could go through and study the art of bodybuilding. That was part of the reason why Schwarzenegger wrote his book, The Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. And so we are trying to go through and be a little bit more health conscious as a people. So I was curious about some of the statistics, because whenever I first got started, I got started in a wellness center, which was located in the same town where I work. So I would go and I would hit that wellness center before I would go in to work. It started out, I would go after work, and then I found it was more conducive for me to go through and get stuff done in the morning. There is something tremendously satisfying about getting up before the sun comes up and going through and making sure that your day is started the right way. And a lot of people, I think, would say, oh, well, doesn't that drain you down for the rest of the day? And it's actually quite the opposite. By going through and working out in the morning, I feel it gives me more energy throughout the day. I started doing some research because we went through and we had our mandatory lockdowns back in March and in April, where all the gyms were closed here in Oklahoma. We were lucky enough to go through and get reopened, and the gym that I'm currently attending now, which is closest to the largest city where I live, they are pretty conscientious about trying to keep everyone as safe as possible, so that way we don't have to go back into a lockdown. So they provide us with the wipe downs and the giant bottles of sanitizer. And so luckily the gyms haven't been tremendously crowded, so I've been able to social distance. I've been able to go through, and so thank goodness I don't have to wear a mask whenever I work out. I tried to initially, I really did. And I couldn't get enough oxygen in whenever I was really getting in and hooking it up. And since I was staying away and I was wiping down stations, you know, before I would use them and after I would use them, I felt, okay, I think I'm probably going to be pretty safe here. But then unfortunately, despite all my protocols, despite, you know, doing my best to keep everything sanitized and I stayed socially distant and all that sort of stuff, back in December, I did actually contract the virus. I was very lucky in that my symptoms were pretty mild. If it wouldn't have been for someone else in my sphere coming in and testing positive, I probably wouldn't have even gone to the clinic to go through and get a test. But then they came back and they said, yep, you got it. And my daughter picked it up and my son did as well. And yet my middle son didn't. So it was this odd thing where we weren't really certain where it came from. And at this point, we'll never know. But once I came back from COVID, which shortly before Christmas, I was able to get back into the gym. But yet there was, I felt like I wasn't doing nearly as much as I was before the lockdowns. And so I had the setback from the lockdowns, and then I had the setback from actually going through and contracting the virus. And I was just beating myself up mentally, you know, because of this. And so I went through and started to try to redo my focus. And so that's when I really got to, I started digging into some numbers, which I personally felt were interesting. And so I want to run through the numbers first, and then once I do that, then we'll circle back to the Man of Steel. But so we're going through, and there is an estimated, and these are pre-COVID numbers, so it may be a little bit different, but there are 45 million Americans that have a gym membership. And for context, that's about 14% of the population.
Okay.
Now, in the United Kingdom, they have 4.5 million gym goers, but that's only 7% of their population. So it sounds like, oh, well, Americans, they must be tremendously health conscious and things like that. But those numbers, I think, are a little bit deceiving. Now, whenever I say gym, I have to assume that the people that were doing the study were talking about everything from the old-fashioned, you know, dungeon-style gyms where it's, you know, it's poor lighting and a lot of heavy iron and things like that. But then they probably also include – right. Yeah, so you have those old styles, but then you also have your fitness centers. You have your health spas. I'd probably even go through and you know, throw in like spin classes or maybe like a yoga studio, something like that, because I feel like those are all – they're all promoting that wellness. And so the statistic is that 80% of Americans – who have a gym membership don't use it. And the numbers there, it's the more money you make, the more likely you are to have a gym membership, because I think it's more of like a status symbol. So there was one time years ago, so whenever I was going up and working out at the wellness center there at the Cherokee Clinic, I just asked the trainers that were there. I was like, hey, you know, what's the washout rate? And they said roughly 95% of the people will come in, they'll sign up, they'll see him a couple of times, and then they disappear. And I was working out there for 5 years. And so I would see the people come and go, and you could begin to count on the regulars. I have this thing where I would give people all individual nicknames, because we're not walking around with the hello, my name is, you know, name tag on. And you know, I work out fairly, you know, I keep to myself. I wear these big giant headphones that basically just scream, go away, just because I don't want anyone to go through it and interrupt me. And so, so it's not like I was really getting engaged with the other people that were there, but so you begin to notice there are certain regulars. And then whenever I switch to the gym and prior, I noticed pretty much the same thing. It was, you know, you could count on these certain people to be there, and then others you'd see occasionally every once in a while, and then they'd all start to, and then they would start to fade away on a long enough timeline. So I do think that the wealthier that you are, the more likely you are to have a gym membership, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're using it properly, because it's, I do think it's more of a status thing. Mm-hmm. So in this research that they did a study of 2,000 people, and 50% of those gym goers claimed that they were just there to check out the opposite sex. I have to assume that that's probably like a large male slanted demographic. But so I was like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. But then they said almost 30% of all members say they don't break into a sweat because they're too busy chatting with other members. And if you're in a big enough gym environment, you're going to see those people. You're going to know who they are.
Yes.
And they are there to talk. And so it's hard. I don't want to sound like I'm running them down, because hey, at the very least they are in the gym, but if you're not working up a sweat, I mean, you're kind of just really kind of wasting your time. But, and then there even amongst those people, there was 13% of people who lie about going to the gym, saying that they were going to go there, and then they end up going somewhere else. I think if you went through and started studying those people, you see, oh, okay, so they're taking pictures for their Instagram, but then
right.
they're moving on. They're doing their own thing. So they're just there they're what's called virtue signaling. It's they're there to make everyone say, oh, look at me, I'm at the gym. And they're not really there to go through it and get it hooked up. So this has never really been my mentality, but then I had to stop and think about, okay, so they say that less than 50% of all the members that go to a gym, less than 50% go 100 times or more every year. And that averages down to 2 trips a week. So I was going through, and I'm guessing they don't have an agenda. And so Schwarzenegger said that 5% of all the people who go to the gym are going there to get into what, you know, competition shape. They're going through there. They're really hooking it up. They're trying to be, you know, the best they can be with this regimen. And so, but then it's not too different from how There's only like 5% of people that play golf that consistently break 80. And there's only like 50% of golfers who consistently break 100. So most of the people are out there, they're by no means trying to be a professional. And much the same way most of these people are going to the gym, they're not trying to look like The Rock. They're just going that, you know, they want to get that energy flowing and things like that. And that I completely understand. So they're not in there. They're not in there with a mission to go through and want to do something. So, and it's, I suppose it's not too different from whenever you go through and you're watching. The joke that I heard one time was, is that at the Olympics, they need to just put one average person in amongst all the rest of these athletes so you can see how good these guys really are. You know, so Usain Bolt has finished and he's taken off his shoes and taken a shower by the time that average person goes through and crosses the distance. Because we've all been, you know, those people where we're sitting there watching American Ninja Warrior while we eat pizza and like, I can't believe that guy couldn't finish the course, you know? So, not everyone is going through and hitting the gym with this same intensity and this mission to become, again, to look like The Rock. And
right.
So I would go through but my mission was to go through. I found myself becoming, I hate this word because it's got too much of a negative connotation to it, but I became addicted to hitting the gym. And I don't think being addicted to hitting the gym is necessarily a bad thing because you're going through, you're improving your lifestyle, things like that. So I was going through and I legitimately enjoyed it. So it was one of those things where I was really, I would get excited to go. I would get excited to go through and do my research and find new exercises and new ways to go through and do things. But after the COVID hit, and then in that space between the lockdown and whenever I contracted COVID, I found myself where I wasn't going to the gym with as much of an intensity. And especially after COVID, it felt like my skills had fallen off. And so I was going through and I was beating myself up pretty bad because I was only going to the gym, let's say 4 days a week. But still, I'm looking at it going, oh, man, I missed those 3 days, instead of focusing on the fact that I went those 4 days.
Right.
And then if you go through and you start studying these numbers, and if the average person is going 2 times a week, and I'm going 4 times a week, I'm doing twice what the average person is going through and doing. So even though I don't necessarily look like, you know, The Rock or you know, I don't look like John Cena, I'm not intending to stand on stage.
You look really well though from your photographs, and you're definitely on the path. No one looking at your photos can say that you're not on the, you know, on the bodybuilder's path.
I thank you for that. It's kind of one of those things where we're our own worst critics, I think. And I think right now, if I was doing a realistic assessment of where I'm at right now, I compare myself a little bit to Alfred Molina in Spider-Man 2, where he had that more of that bigger, bulkier, that 50s bodybuilder type thing. You know, it's so he just had, you know, just that different look. And I'd love to get down to that cut or start moving myself towards getting to that, you know, that cut look that a lot of those bodybuilders have. And I'm getting there, but I'm also not on a timeline. So I think there's these assumptions that you go to the gym and you're going to come out in 12 weeks and look like, you know, the Hollywood superstars that are in the comic book movies. And
no,
that doesn't happen.
Get there.
Right. And now there are people. So there are people like Josh Brolin, whenever he bulked up to play Cable in the Deadpool movie, or Paul Rudd or Kumail Nanjiani, they do go through and they do get transformed fairly quickly. But then you also have to remind yourself that they're surrounded by these teams of professionals and personal trainers and chefs and all this sort of stuff. I was reading recently about how Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor in the Marvel movies, he is going to play Hulk Hogan in a biopic where he stars as Hulk Hogan. And so I'm curious to see it, but his stunt double is furious with him because he's put on so much weight in a good way. But he's like, yeah, but now I have to eat every 2 hours, and it's just nothing but chicken and rice. And so the stunt double can't keep up with how much Hemsworth has put on. So it is a thing where I have to kind of remind myself that they're going through, and they've got this team, they've got these professionals, and so I'm not going to have the same, or I'm not going to have as quickly a ramp up as they're going to have. So what this all does, so this brings me back to, and this is where I found the article, and I'll go through whenever we get done here, I'll post the actual article. It's not much more than a paragraph. But so Henry Cavill, the man who plays Superman in the DCEU, he also play a lot of people know him also from being Geralt of Rivia in the Witcher series,
the Witcher,
that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So he really bulked up in order to change his physique for The Witcher. And so I've gone through and studied his workouts that he did. And so it was a lot of things like Romanian deadlifts and things to keep his core, his thighs, and his butt really strong, because he's going through and he's swinging that sword, and you have to do it over and over again, but yet you have to do it safely, because you've got other people involved. So it involved a different style of workout. And because of that, he really put on a lot of mass, put on a lot of strength. And then unfortunately he tore his hamstring. And so that went through and that set him back. It delayed the next season of The Witcher that's going to come out. And so, but he's going through and he's doing his physiotherapy and he's doing all these things. And then of course you combine this with Christmas, and that's where you've got all the sweets and all the great food. And so it's easy to go through and get lazy. But the part that I isolated from his article that he wrote, and he said, and so this, and I quote, he said, "You don't have to do the workout that will cause the gods to quail in fear. You just need to get up and move." And he's right. That's, you know, so yes, you should obviously go in with this mentality of, okay, I'm going to achieve this today, but you just need to get up and move. And so now we have talked in the past, and I'm still a very big advocate of volume training. So I'm of the opinion that there are some people that just go to the gym like 3 days a week. They go really hard in those 3 days, but then it requires them like 2 days to recover. So you go really hard on Monday, and then you're so sore on Tuesday you can't go, so you have to wait until Wednesday to go through and go again. I'm a big advocate of going up every day. And so that you go until you get tired, and then that's it. You shut it down, you go away. But that volume training only works if you're there in volume. So when I'm telling you, oh yeah, volume, go every day, and then I would start to beat myself up whenever I was only able to go 4 times a week, because either I slept through my alarm or I was too tired and I just, I couldn't drag myself out of bed. And that does, it happens to the best of us. I do understand that. But as I've been going through here in February, and then of course, naturally the snow and the ice comes in, which kind of throws me off a little bit off trail. But so one of the things that I do is I take my phone with me. So that way I have something to do while I do cardio. I hate cardio. I hate it. I don't think there's anyone that actually likes it, but I know it's important, and I know that you need to do it. So I do a cardio as a warm-up. So pre-COVID and pre the lockdown, I was averaging, I would say, roughly about 60 minutes of cardio. And so I do what I call serial killer cardio, where it is a slow walk, but at a high incline, because if I kept the treadmill at a low incline, but at a high pace, I couldn't keep that tempo up. I've got too much mass, and it's just, I'm not designed for sprinting. And so, but I found that, okay, let's kick that incline up. And I started to do the math on it, and I was like, I'm burning about the same amount of cardio. As it's slower, I'm not in a big hurry. So, okay, if it takes me an hour, it takes me an hour, but I'm going to go through it. Let's crank that incline up, and I'll do a steady walk at a good brisk pace. And so I would do that for roughly about an hour. And so now post COVID, here it is. I went from watching an episode of 30 Rock on Peacock on their app, which is 22 minutes at plus commercials. And here in February, I switched up and started watching episodes of The West Wing on HBO Max, which is 45 minutes with no commercials. And so all right, so here is this slow, steady progression where I went through and I was only doing 30 minutes and I felt kind of bad, but then I started to go through. And so now I'm up to 45 minutes and I feel like I could do a solid hour. I'm ready to go to get to that next level. So it's going through and facing these mental blocks. And I've done this for as long as I can remember, where I'm not praising myself for going those 4 days, but I'm beating myself up for missing those 3 days. And so I'm trying to do more of a positive reinforcement in my life. And I think by going through and shifting to that, I can understand where some of the professionals could come along and they could go, oh, well, yeah, but you still missed 3 days. Yeah, but I went four. You know, uh-huh. So I'm going through here and it's trying to focus on more of the, hey, I did four today. And if on Thursday, just, you know, to throw a random day out there, if I didn't make it up there on Thursday because I needed to sleep, it was probably because I was pretty wore down and my body was tired and it just said, okay, let's just go through. But then there have been some of those days where I've laid there in bed and I've been tired and I'll give myself, you know, like 2 minutes to feel sorry for myself and go, oh man, I really don't want to get out of bed and the electric blanket is warm and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, just kind of force myself to get up and go. And then once I do, I feel better once I'm there. So I know I'm slowly getting back to that phase, but sometimes it is kind of an uphill slog. And so For the listeners, if you take away anything from this discussion tonight, I think it's more along the lines of being focused on the good things that you're doing and not comparing yourself to other people. That's always been my mentality, is that I'm not in competition with anyone else, but unfortunately, I'm not as good as I was a year ago. And that can be disheartening, but I have to remind myself that I'm capable of getting back there. It's just been a little bit of a harder climb than I anticipated.
I could totally sympathize. I've learned that when my body is demanding time off, and again, I'll push a little because you're right. Sometimes just starting, you're glad that you did it, that you didn't give in to the voice that tells you to take a day off. But sometimes my body really needs a day off, and I'm always feel better when I grant it to my body that, okay, today we won't do very much. I'll do my stretches. I'll do my hand grip body exercises. I'll do some of the ones that are half metaphysical, you know, so that they don't really demand a lot from you physically. But I also found that if you make bodybuilding a habit, then like any other habit, if you don't do what your habit demands, you start feeling anxious and wrong. And I think that, like you said earlier, that's a good thing. I think that it's just as important to cultivate good habits than it is to undo bad habits.
Right. And so one of the things that to tack on to what you said there, I've had a trainer told me one time, you have to know how to listen to your central nervous system. You have to know where your limit is. And I think there are those people who attempt to push themselves beyond their limits without unnecessarily. And so I understand there are some people where you want to go through and you want to quit and your body's hurting, but it's foolish to go through and push yourself too far and risk potential injury. And because if you go through, and it's just like you go through and you damage your knee and you try to come back too soon or push yourself too hard, you can actually end up causing even greater damage. And so as a result, then you're on the shelf for that much more. Whereas, so there are times where I do think you need to run. I do think you need to push yourself, but it's learning to listen to that central nervous system and know, man, if I try to go for one more rep, that's it. I'm going to hurt myself. But I think it's that difference between pushing beyond the pain barrier that you know you're capable of, but yet not going so far to where you risk potential injuries.
Very true. And sometimes your body demands a change. I had this happen recently too. I've been using the X3 for a very long time, and I'm very happy with it. My arms are huger than they've been in a long time, and my shoulders look better than they ever did. So I'm really happy with the results, my leg muscles, everything. But lately I've been not putting as much into the workouts. I feel appropriately tired afterwards, and the muscles have all been targeted, but something was missing. So I decided to continue with the X3, but to break it up differently, and then to do the five pyramid thing that you had shown me how to do once. So you start off with very lightweights, do five, slightly higher five, slightly higher five, until you can't do five, and then you go backwards down the list. So I did that for my whole body, and I've been doing it this week, and it feels like I'm watering my body. You know, my body feels great, and my pumps are even better. So my body kept demanding something different, and I resisted it because I was getting good results. But my body needed this, and now my workout is revitalized again, you know, and I'm still doing the X3, but I'm also doing, you know, using D weights and dumbbells and kettlebells. And I rediscovered the fact that I like using bodybuilding toys like the Hercules Twister and, you know, all sorts of different spring gizmos, you know, that appeared on the market shortly, and rubber balls, you know, for grip, and, you know, those big heavy medicine balls. And, you know, so I found that it gives me joy to integrate those things. My workouts feel great afterwards. Again, everything's been targeted. It's different from what I was doing, and I was getting good results from what I was doing, but my body needed to do something else. And I'm glad that I did, because now, you know, I can't wait to start my workout, you know, so.
Right. And that's one of the things so my personal favorite. So I'm a big fan of antagonistic sets. And real simply put, for every push, there's going to be a pull. There's going to be for every yin, there's going to be a yang, because I'm attempting to go through. That's one of the unique things about bodybuilding, which I think is decidedly different from powerlifting. Bodybuilding is more of an overall aesthetic. And so you're hitting the muscles from a variety of ways, and then you're trying to target as many muscles as possible, whereas as opposed to powerlifting, which is just get the weight lifted as much as, you know, humanly possible. However, it takes you to get to it and get it lifted. So for me, bodybuilding is less about heavier weights. It's more along the lines of lighter weight and then doing them for more reps. So I love to do shoulder workouts because there's such a variety of shoulder exercises that you can do. It's almost impossible to get bored, but then you can go through and you can see, well, different people are, you know, they do different exercises. There is a YouTube channel that the WWE wrestler Sheamus has, the Brave Change, I think might be the name of it. I'd have to go through and research it, but where he goes around and has interviews and then works out with a variety of wrestlers. So that way you can see all their different techniques that they use, because they're going to go through and they're going to adapt their program that works for them and doing the stuff that they enjoy. And so that's one of the things that I would be to watch these videos and see, oh, okay, this is how Rey Mysterio has built his shoulders, or this is how, you know, there was one wrestler that was, you know, that he was doing 1,000 reps. And I was like, oh my goodness, how are they doing this? Because they were doing sets of 50. But which is just an impossible, it seems like an impossible amount. But then once you go through, because they're doing such a light weight, but they're doing it over and over again. And that's where you go through and you start doing the math and you're like, well, technically, because they're doing this lighter weight, but they're doing more reps, they're actually lifting more weight over time than the right. big guy who just goes through and does, you know, three bench presses. So I do think that there's an exciting amount of exercises that you can go through and do, and to where you should never really get bored. I think that's where a lot of people can go through and go, well, man, you're just kind of doing the same thing over and over again, right? And it's, no, not really, because you're going through and you're doing all these different workouts to target those muscles differently, so that way you're not victim to that law of diminishing return. They're saying that, oh, you know, your basic philosophies are going to stay the same. You'll go through and you'll do different exercises. Usually about every 12 weeks, you should go through and change up, whether that's a different, you know, maybe you're doing more weight with less reps, or you're going, you know, extremely low weight and extremely high reps, or sometimes it's using new equipment that you haven't used before. Up at my gym, they went through and installed an inverted leg press, and I love that thing. I mean, that is amazing, but it's never something that I could afford to put in a home gym. So that's one of the things that I do like about going to a gym. I'll let them pay for all the equipment, and yes, I'll pay for the, you know, the membership fee, but I'll let them pay for all the big expensive equipment. And so I love working out with stuff like that. And then when you go through, everyone can go through and they can do the shoulder shrugs in order to build those trapezius muscles. But then I saw in a thing where a guy was doing the trapezius raises, but he did them with his chest against an incline bench. And so as a result, whenever I saw that, I was like, okay, that's a unique way to go through and target those muscles in a different way. And so whenever I started to go through and do that, where you could feel the way it would pull those muscles differently. And that's where I really I found my sport. I've said, you know, to anyone that'll listen to me, that I love the science behind bodybuilding. You know, if you lift this weight in this way, it's going to get you this result. And it is very much a science. And right. So whenever I would go through and find these new exercises, I would get excited to go through and try them. You know, and kind of along the same way, where you can do your lateral pull downs. So you got the lat pull down, and most of the time that bar on the cable is going straight up and down. And they said, well, this time you'll stand up, put your feet against the brace there, and then pull the bar at more of a 45-degree angle down to your chest. And so by doing that, it was hitting those lats in a different way. There are some people that even will say, because the four major exercises that you need to go through and that you would build most workouts around is going to be the bench press, is going to be the pull-up, the deadlift, and the squat. Those four, they're your big pillars. That's what you're building everything around. And arguably, whenever you're going through and you're at the gym, that's the question that gets asked of everyone. Well, how much do you bench? Because that's like the big standard. It's like, you know, you get a new car and the kids ask, well, how fast does it go? You know, how much can you bench seems to be the standard. And I was reading one article where there was a professional bodybuilder and he said, I can't tell you the last time that I bench pressed. And I was like, well, that's kind of a strange, you know, statement. So here he is, a professional bodybuilder, but yet he doesn't do bench press. Uh-huh. And so what he does cable crossovers, which okay. I know it stinks being on the radio, but it's where basically you're stretched out in and you've got cables, and you're pulling your arms in front of you like you're trying to wrap your arms around an imaginary barrel. And so then he started going through and he started doing the science of it. Okay, whenever you're laying on a bench press, you're laying flat, and gravity is keeping you against that bench press. With a cable crossover, you're standing up, slightly positioned ahead of the weight, and whenever you go and start to pull those weights down, your core has to be engaged, because mm-hmm. otherwise it's that weight is attempting to pull you backwards. If you're at like one pace, maybe at three quarters of a step out from those cables, so that way you're pulling the weight in front of you, and then by going through and doing that step, that half step forward, the weight is trying to pull you back with its inertia. So by you resisting against that weight, you're actually contracting more muscles than you would, and different muscles than you would as if you were sitting on a bench or laying down on a bench press. And once they started to explain that, I was like, yeah, okay. I mean, I understand the mentality. Now, because of the motion of that movement, you can't do nearly the amount of weight that you do if you lay down on a traditional bench press, but it's contracting those muscles in a different way. And so I think that's where the real science comes in, is where people come along and they say, okay, well, we know you do this, but here mm-hmm. we found a more effective way to do it, and we found that this, you know, this is going to burn those calories that much more. It's kind of like but they'll go through, and again, going back to the science, I've seen where people can do they do a reverse grip bench press, where normally whenever you're going through and you're doing a bench press where you're laying down on the bench, you're looking at the back of your hands, you're looking at your knuckles. What they did is they reversed their grip so that you're looking at your fingers whenever you're going through and you're doing that bench press. And they found that that bench press, a flat bench press with an inverted grip, ended up generating more energy or more muscle, 15% more muscle use than doing a incline press. So the incline is where you're sitting up at roughly 30 degrees, and typically that muscle or that exercise is going to engage the top part of your chest. But by going through laying down flat on the bench and reversing your grip, they got 15% more out of those muscles by doing exercises in that way. And that's where, I mean, they had these guys, they had the machines all hooked up to them and they were studying and things like that. So that's where it's fine. I don't think there is such a thing as a perfect workout, but you can go through and kind of fine tune those numbers by bringing in this idea and that idea.
Yeah.
And by doing that, you're trying to find your best possible workout. And if you're telling me that this workout is going to get me 15% more results, well, then I'm going to do that 15%. I'm going to do that exercise all day.
And the thing is, as we've said many times before, each of us are unique. So what works for one person might not work for the other, but it's good to be in a state of constant experimentation and to try new things, because you never know. Like when I first got the X3, I didn't expect it to be as effective as it was, because it seemed to contradict everything I knew and everything I was doing. But I gave it a chance, and I was really surprised, and that's like part of my core workout now. Even though I'm supplementing it now with other exercises, and I feel better for doing so, if I just looked at it and didn't give it a chance, I would have missed out on something really great for my workouts.
And so as I understand that X3 that you use, it's a band system. Is that correct?
Yes, it's a platform, a bar, and bands. And the bands are different tensions, and you could fold them in half or have them single, and it gives you different types of resistances, I believe up to 600 pounds.
Okay.
So by adjusting the band, you do progressive resistance, and you just keep upping the pressure on the bands. So for almost all the exercises, I could do the common version was given with the set, using the full the highest pressure band at this particular point in time. But it's taken like I'd say a good year and a half to get there. But again, I do variations. I've created some of my own exercises. You know, some of them work better than others and became part of what I did all the time. So like anything else, it's experimental. I'm seeing other band systems appear now on the YouTube commercials mostly.
That doesn't surprise me. So it's as the way that I understand the bands work. And so, because there are times where I haven't worked out with an X3, but it's the principle is pretty much the same, that the farther that you extend those bands from your body, the greater that contraction is going to be. So when you're starting in really close to your chest, it's not going to be as resistant as it is once you get your arms fully extended. It's not too different from the concept of where they go through and they attach chains to the weight.
Yeah.
So that way, the farther that you're extending that weight, so if we're going back to your traditional bench press, you go through and you rack the weight, or you take the weight off the rack, and you've got this length of chain that's hanging from but then it's also piled on the floor. So then whenever you go through and you lift that weight from off your chest, you're taking more and more lengths off the ground, therefore adding to the weight. So that way, once you start to go through and get your arms fully extended, you're adding more weight the farther that your arms extended. Because most of the time whenever you go through and you lift, there's going to be that you're going to reach where if you're going to fail, it's going to be within this area. And so if you're laying flat on your back, generally speaking, if you can get your arms after halfway, the odds of you failing after that are extremely low, because it's that first initial burst. Once you get past that, once you get past that halfway mark, you're pretty good. I mean, then all you just got to do is lock out your arms. So a lot of people would equate that moment from, okay, this is the failure, where if I'm going to fail, it's going to be at this mark. And then everything beyond that to getting your arms all the way extended, it can be called garbage time, where you're not really working as hard as you could be. Whereas instead, once you throw those chains on, there is no garbage time, because the farther that you lift it up, the heavier that weight's going to become. It's not too different if you think about a dumbbell or a barbell curl. If you're going to fail, it's going to be before you can get your arms to that 90-degree mark. And then if you can get to that 90-degree angle in the curve of your arm, you're probably pretty good to be able to go through and curl the weight up the rest of the way up to meet the top of your chest. So all the real heavy lifting with those dumbbells and with the barbells is going to be in that first initial burst. And then once you get past that failure line, everything else would be considered garbage time. So by going through and switching and doing the resistance bands, which are like the, not like how the X3 has it, but more along the lines of like the surgical tubing with the handles attached to them. With that, the farther up that you're able to curl, the more resistance you're going to have. Whereas it's the reverse. Whereas before with the dumbbells, all the heavy work was done in the beginning. With the surgical tubing and the bands, all the work is done in the upper half of the workout. And so by going through and doing things like that, it goes through and it attacks those muscles in a different way, right, which is more effective. So if you can go through and you can implement both, so like, okay, so I'm going to do arms today and I'm going to do dumbbells or I'm going to do barbells. And then when it's time for me to do arms again, I'm going to switch it up and I'm going to go to do a band workout. And so that way I'm hitting them from different ways. So that way you're getting the biggest pump.
And that's what I got out of it, because it's fairly much like you explained. And the X3 has things that you do. It's not just a simple thing. There's different types of movements that you perform during the course of an exercise, and you go to failure. The adding the from light to heavy, by heavy I meant I couldn't do five whole reps in good form. I found that it gave me something else that the bands weren't giving me. I was happy with the bands alone, but my body demanded something different for stimulation. So now I'm glad that I did, because I feel like I'm getting a double workout. And I know that come a time I want to do something else, or I want to go back to doing the bands by themselves, because they work by themselves, or who knows. But I experiment all the time. You're much more scientific than I am in the way you approach the information. Like you, I experiment a lot. If something sounds great, like things you've suggested in our conversations, I did some research and then I did them, and now they're important parts of my routine because they work very well and I enjoy doing them.
And, and that's really the thing that what's so impressed me about, I guess the buzzword that they would use for it is resistance training. Resistance training is just a fancy way of saying weightlifting. To go through, weightlifting is the only sport there, and that's what it really is. It's a sport. I mean, in golf, you could argue that you're not really playing against other people. You're playing against the course. With weightlifting, I'm not going through and you know, doing competitions or anything like that. But, you know, so the person that I'm competing with against is myself. And
right.
I like that. It's to me, because that's the only person I'm in competition with, I'm just trying to be better than me. I'm not trying to be better than everyone else. And so while I do think competition is a good thing, it elevates your game. It, you know, iron sharpens iron. And so sometimes it is good to compete against other people. But so for younger people out there, for people in high school, for people in college that are in athletics, I would highly recommend a weightlifting program, because weightlifting is the only thing that improves every other sport. Now, if you play football, basketball, baseball, soccer, it doesn't matter. Going through and doing a weight training program is going to improve your skills. It's going to improve your strength and make you better in that sport. I know there are some people out there that run marathons and things like that, but if they only go through and do marathons, then they end up developing these extremely large quads, and that can go through and that can create a muscle imbalance, because they haven't developed their hamstrings enough. And if you have one part that's overdeveloped and one part that's underdeveloped, not only does that hurt your performance, but it actually can speed you closer towards injury. So
yes.
that's one of the things that I really like about bodybuilding, is because it is a whole body workout. So it's, I'm going to go through and I'm going to work on, you know, all three heads of, you know, of my shoulders, and I'm going to work through, I'm going to do my traps and my forearms and my biceps and my triceps. And so you're doing all this stuff, so that way you have that proper balance, because so that way your body doesn't look asymmetrical. That's one of the goals of most bodybuilders, is to go through and to develop this aesthetic, which is, so it's no different, where you can't have little tiny chicken legs and then be really muscularly developed in the upper part of your body. That's, you know, that you look off. So it's going through and hitting a variety of those muscles from a variety of different ways to go through and improve yourself overall. And that's part that really appeals to me as a gym goer. And that's why I've gravitated so much towards bodybuilding. It's kind of one of those things where, boy, I wish I could have found this thing in my 20s and, you know, and developed from there. But instead, so I started a little late, but that doesn't mean that I can't get there eventually.
You're definitely on your way there. I discovered bodybuilding fairly early. My father used to lift weights, and I grew up watching those sword and sandal movies on TV. And I'm Greek, so we had all these statues all over the house. I got into Charles Atlas, so, you know, very early. But I didn't realize until later in life how important it was to me in terms of who I am and what I do. And that I've always felt happiest when I'm going to the gym, or when I'm lifting weights, and when I'm focusing on bodybuilding. So in terms of my overall wellness and well-being, it took me a longer time than I like to realize how integral it was. And if there is a reincarnation, next time I'll try to keep that in mind. To start early and just don't stop for anything, I'll regret it.
I can completely relate with that, with my lifelong addiction to comic books. And then growing up when Schwarzenegger was the action movie star king. And now with what we're seeing with all the development, with all the different Marvel heroes and things like that, there are a lot of people that you can look at and admire and aspire to. And so I completely understand with what you're going, or with the direction that you were taking that there. And I think as a lot of people, I do think that they are misinformed in the thinking that, okay, well, I can just jump in here and 12 weeks later, I'm going to look like a Marvel hero. And it doesn't really work that way. But then I've talked to many women whenever they, you know, so, you know, how do I get started? The biggest fear that they always have is like, oh, well, I don't want to get all big and muscular. And I've been doing this for years, trying to get big and muscular, and I haven't done it yet. So don't think that you just come through here and pick up a dumbbell and that's it. You know, you're going to be walking around looking like She-Hulk. it doesn't happen that way. It would, because most of your average gym goers, as we said at the top of the show, they're going two times a week. But I think once you get into that two times a week, and then when it hooks you and when it grabs you, that's when you're going to start going through and you're going to start developing your splits, and which is something we can talk about next time. But, you know, so that's where that addiction begins to come in, and you love that feeling that you're getting from those endorphins that your brain is generating, those happy chemicals that are just streaming through your system, which is not too chemically different from morphine. But the difference is that it's, you don't become chemically dependent on it, and they don't diminish over time. So by going through and putting yourself in pain, as much as cliche as this adage has become, no pain, no gain, but that's the truth. And once you go through and you start generating that pain, and your body doesn't like it, and so it starts screaming to your brain, and your brain goes, all right, well, I'm going to emit these chemicals, these endorphins, which are a natural analgesic, to go through and help you mitigate that pain. And that's one of the best feelings in the world. So why would I not want to do that to start my day and then head off to the office where I'm going to be doing, you know, bookkeeping and things like that for the rest of the day? So if the heaviest thing that I lift is that deadlift there early in the morning, everything after that is all downhill.
Awesome. And last, we've run out of time again. I enjoy speaking with you a lot, and the time passes very quickly. Are there any last thoughts you'd like to leave with people until next time?
Just so that way, so they can get the same amount of inspiration that I did on the Facebook post that you do on this. I'll post that article that that Henry
Thank
Cavill
you.
Posted, because he spoke very eloquently, and it's a wonderful article. Real quick, real easy to read, but hopefully that'll be motivation for someone that needs it today.
And how can people contact you and find out about Fury and Strength and the Phoenix Protocols?
Right there through the Facebook post that you do, that promotion that you do for me, that's the absolute best way for them to get in contact with me.
Thanks again, Ryan. You're awesome. I must add that you're also a graphic novelist and an author, and that your works in that area are an inspiration to me when I work out. So we're going to be covering them again very soon, because I recently reread them, and I'm impressed all over again. So thank you so very much, and stay warm, okay?
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the time tonight.
And thanks to everybody who's joined us, whether you joined us live or you'll be joining us later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And we're going to end, as we often do, with If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley. Virginia was kind enough to let us use her music, and she's won lots of awards for it.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky. But only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only There is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream.